If y'all would, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. And you just park there for a little bit. Turn this little whiteboard here. Naturally, we will not cover all these scriptures, I don't think. What I have up here on the board first is we have been talking about in the tabernacle, when you first went into the gate, there was only one gate, and it was an eastern gate. First thing you came to, if you remember, was the brazen altar. That's where you had to bring your sacrifices. Your sacrifices for everything was there, especially for sin. And we talked about bronze, and I wrote this up here because I have the title here, Order of Prayer and Worship. Because the first thing you came through was bronze, and bronze means judgment against sin. It's usually always about judgment. And even when you leave the brazen altar, before you even went into the holy place, there was also a brazen basin. There was a basin or a laver there filled with water. And the water is the washing of the water by the word, and it's for cleansing. So you see sacrifice, and you also see cleansing that's related to before you even get into the holy place or the holies of holies. And then inside is furniture. What we want to talk about today is we want to talk about the altar of incense. Now, I didn't really go into the bronze altar was covered with acacia wood. But so is the Ark of the Covenant, and so is the Ark of the incense is covered with acacia wood. In this case, it's gold, which gold represents the very deity of Yahweh. Acacia wood, I have up here, is the incorruptible humanity of Messiah. Acacia wood, just real quick, is a wood that they used in all the furnishings. And think about this. If you look it all up, and you can research it yourself, but acacia wood, what makes it so special is, about how long did that furniture last when they made it? Yeah, it's lasted a long time, because think about this. In just going through the wilderness, and how many people in here have tables that's thousands of years old at your house? So you can imagine this acacia wood, and if you research it, it is very, 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 very hardy. Bugs don't like it, really nothing. If you throw it in water and leave it in water forever, it would probably rot. But other than that, it is one of the most durable woods that's on the planet. And so this furniture, naturally overlaid with bronze and overlaid with gold, would also help protect it. But we're talking about just, remember we were in Shiloh, and we were there in Jerusalem, and there it stood for 390 to 400 years in that location that we were at. So you're talking about some furniture. So the Father sort of had to know what he was doing whenever he was doing the furniture. Amen? So I know this little thing here is flipping all over the place, so it might be time to get another one. So anyway, but here's it. There's some scripture that deals with Yeshua also in Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. We read that a couple of weeks ago, that talks about a root and just talks about, you know, how Yeshua, he didn't come. He wasn't great to look at. In other words, he wasn't head and shoulders and above everybody else. He wasn't the most handsome man. But we know that it was there for a reason. And so the acacia wood, he represents the acacia wood. Now think about this too. I just want to say this, and I know I'm going real fast over this part because I want to get to the meat of it. Yeshua represents everything in the tabernacle. Every ring, every curtain, every pole, everything that's there, he represents some form or fashion. Because that tabernacle, you got to understand this, is the house of who? It's the house of Elohim. It's Yahweh's house. And it's there for a reason, because he's trying to tell you and show you everything had to be in order and had to be in its place for its function. And we are that house today. And we have to understand that we are all we all look different. We all have different callings. But we all build up his house. And we have to operate in the function that he has us to operate in. Amen. And that's what it's for, because he is doing something in today for his house. And he's dwelling in us. Amen. Okay, so now, what I want to also talk about is who you are, number one. Revelation 1, 4, 5, and 6, and it says this, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Sort of covers everything, amen? And from the seven spirits of whom are before the throne. Seven spirits that are before the throne. You know, Tammy's been writing these daily delights. These come from the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. This is why we have to have the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit operating in our life daily, all of them. Verse 5, from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings on the earth, to him who loved us, who loves us, and who freed us from our sins by his blood. King James says what? Washes us. So we see that there is a, you can see the tabernacle language in this, that there is a judgment. He died. He spilled his blood. He washed us. He cleansed us of our sins. And then what did he do? He made us what? A kingdom. Priest to Elohim and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. So what he did was, is he made us a kingdom. And in this kingdom, he's made us priest. And if he's made us priests, we have a job to do. This is why I was saying a couple of weeks ago, I was an electrician and an air conditioning guy. But that is my job and that was my vocation. But being a servant of the king is first and foremost in my life. That's my main job. Even though my occupation might have been something, if you put your occupation here, then you're going to put Yahweh down here somewhere. And if you do that, you're going to struggle all your life. It's just the way it's going to be. I don't know how many people has fought in a company to get to a place in their life to where they can get their pension and get their retirement, and all of a sudden something happened and they lost their job. Whatever, if the plant shut down or whatever. And then all of these years you went. Now I'm not saying don't plan for the future. That's what I'm saying. But if you're planning for the future and you're trying to do it, I'm saying don't do that. You need to let Yahweh be in control of your life because he's the one that can get you to the end. He's the one that can bring you to the end. Amen? Because you don't know one day when you're going to live, die. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Plan, yes. But your plan has to have him first and foremost in our life in every area. Or our planning will be in vain. That's what I'm saying. Because he has made us a kingdom priest to his Father and to Elohim. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 19. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read 1 John 1:9 because y'all all know the scripture while you're going to Exodus 19:5. And in in 1 John 1:9 it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we see that in our prayer life, we need, before we pray, I mean, as we're going through this, this is why we talked about also, he says, if there's somebody who has aught with you, or if you believe that, it says, leave your gift where? At the altar, you go make it right. In other words, make things right. This has to be right. Me and Dennis have to be right. Amen? Thank you very much for giving your hand. Thought he was going to hold it there. I was going to have to get it up. But me and Dennis, we have to be right. If we're not right, because we're the body, if we're not right, this is going to struggle. Because he's made us to function as a body. The tabernacle, when you look back there, they've got one back there, but when you see a tabernacle, everything, the rings, the nails, the pegs, everything has to join to make it stand. If we're weak, and if one of us is not functioning where we need to be functioning, then the tabernacle is unstable. His house is unstable. And guys, we're his house. And this is why this is so important, that we really, really, really need to realize who we are in Yeshua. We need to really realize how we function as a body. Prayer is of the utmost importance. We read about about a month ago in it, about our prayers. Are our prayers an incense offering? or in Proverbs, are our prayers an abomination? Because it says, for those who turn their ear away from the Torah and do not hear that, it says their prayers are an abomination. There's a lot of people will tell you that the Torah doesn't matter today. Well, the very scripture that you read will tell them that their prayers are an abomination. That's what the Word says. I'm not condemning anybody, but we got to wake up to find out. I need my prayers heard. I need our prayers heard. That's what we need. And you know what? I want everybody's prayers heard, because prayer is the work. The things that we do and the abilities, like I tell the praise team up here, the musicians up here, whether they're playing an instrument, whether they can play 100 instruments, you know, whether they sing or whatever they do, the banners, there's something about the banners. That's worship. Waving these banners is warfare. There's a lot of things that happens in our life that maybe we don't see what's going on in the spirit world. But there's a lot of things happening. But guess what? There's a lot of negative things happening in the spirit world. And a lot of times, because it says we wrestle not what? Against flesh and blood, against what? Principalities and powers. What are we watching? What are we doing? And what's going on in our life or around our life that we're allowing this darkness to enter in around us? And the thing about it is here we are praying and we're beating our head against the wall, and then our prayers are an abomination. See, we need to wake up, and number one, that's where I'm focusing on. I need to know, is my prayer an abomination, or is it reaching through the heavens and going where it's supposed to go? And we want to read some scriptures where these prayers are going, and this is where I want our prayers to go. And when we worship Him, when we praise this afternoon, I mean, after a while, not this afternoon, I don't want to scare nobody. But when we do worship Him, everybody just fell off. But it is really important. It's just of the utmost importance. Because how many times in scriptures did you see where He said, I hate your feast. I hate your love. Yes, I hate this. I hate that. Why? Because their heart wasn't in it. It wasn't right. And I know I love my peeps. I love everybody here. And when people are not here, I miss you guys. But the thing about it is my first and foremost, I have to be here for the right reason. I can't be here just because I got a lot of friends and I love to meet. And you know, that's what I tell the young people. I know the young people, for the most part, they love being here because they want to be with their friends. But we have to teach them, parents, we still have to teach them what is the right reason to be here. And the benefit is we get to be with our friends, because we're having to learn to be with one another. We need to focus what is first, keeping what is first and foremost. Okay, in Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a treasured possession among all peoples. And I wrote right here, Bill Cloud, I heard him say this. Mindset. Yahweh did not make Israel great. He made Israel to do great things. See, He didn't make us great, but He has made us to do great things, because He's filled us with His Spirit to be able to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. That's why we're going to pray for these cloths after a while, because people need to be healed. We can do our part, faith between the people. And you know, and I just want to tell you this again, just as a reminder. If somebody needs to be healed, I will pray for you. I will touch you. We will anoint you with oil. We will do what we can do. But the moment you get out of that seat to come up here, you're healed in Yeshua's name. Because faith is moving. Faith is action. I want to be healed. I need to be healed. So I'm going up there. The moment you do this, you're healed in Yeshua's name, because you moved in faith. See, we got to get out of this mindset that there's a formula to things, but that the moving is where you're healed. The lady was saying, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, because she was moved on the prophecy of Isaiah. She was moved. If I can just touch, because the Messiah would come with what? Healing in His wings. If she could just touch the very commandments, she believed by faith, and that's what this is about. That we need to not lose sight of that. So we are treasured possession. For all the earth is mine. Now look what He says next. And you shall be, or you shall, I broke this down like this, and you shall be to me. Yahweh is saying, Israel, you shall be to me. I just grabbed you out of all the nations and I pulled you over here. That's treasured possession. That is being set apart. You got to picture yourself that when you accept Yeshua as the Messiah by faith, He now removed you from the nations and you are now set apart to Him. You got to realize that. We are not saved so that we can go to heaven, so that we can continue to live like hell on this earth. You know what I'm saying? We're not to be able to say that we're, and we can keep doing what we're doing and keep doing what we're doing, and all of a sudden we just got a Monopoly ticket, you know, don't go to jail, pass, whatever, get out of jail free and all that. That ain't what salvation is about. Salvation is saving us from something, but it's mainly saving us to someone. It's bringing us to our King. It's bringing us to what we were called to be to start with. This is what Israel was called to do. He didn't choose them because He said they were the smallest and the dysfunctional amongst all the people. And He took them out of a great nation, Egypt. He brought them. They were slaves. But He didn't choose them because they was great. But He made them great because they were to do great things. Doing great things will make you great because what? It makes Him great. And that's what we are. We belong to Him. A mindset. So He says, you shall be to me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, 9 and 10. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2, 9 because you know this one. But you are a chosen generation, a race, an offspring, a family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Peter is really quoting Exodus. He's telling them the same thing. He's telling all of them there that we are set apart for His own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What did He do? He called us to do great things. That's what He's called us to do. He's called us out of darkness where we were in sin. He rescued us from that, but He called us to do great things. Our Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by the blood you ransomed people for Elohim. So it's by His blood He ransomed people for Elohim. From every tribe and language and people and nation. Does that sort of include everybody? Here's where we have to understand that Israel is not just about being born a Jew. It's about grafting. It's about, number one, Yahweh, His Son, and the branches. And all of those that are branched or grafted into, because that's what Romans 11 is talking about, even the natural branches were what? They were cut off. Everybody has to be grafted back in. And so He's telling us here in Revelation that there was a new song that was to be sang. But really, the thing about it is, it's really a renewed song because it's of the same words it was from the beginning. It hasn't ever changed. Because Israel was to be a light to the nations. It wasn't that Israel was to be great and lord anything over anybody. It was that they were to be able to minister the light to the nations and proclaim Yahweh is what they were supposed to do. And then the nations would accept that. I mean, we see that in Solomon's day. We see where people and kings and all of these people would make trips to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You see that in the scriptures. So you see bits and pieces during the times where this really happened. But it should be happening today. I'm just going to say this. I know I'm trying to figure out how to say it. It'd be nice. The thing about it is the church is dysfunctional. And that's the problem. And by it being dysfunctional, and we can't even agree, we got all this, and I know I've said this before, but this is why it's so important the guys that we need to get ourselves out of the way. And we need to let His Word shine through us. If we could just repeat His Word, that would be awesome. And not really our opinions about what we think the Word is saying. Because there's no life in opinions. The life is in His Word. I mean, I know that we do have opinions of what we believe things are saying. And I understand that, and that's great. But it can't rule over His Word. His Word has got to be, because that's where the life comes from. That's where conviction comes from. That's what changes us, because it's living. Verse 10. And I'm just reading this. It says, "And you have made them," who is the them? The every tribe, language, people, and nation, "a kingdom and priest to Elohim, and they shall reign on the earth." I wanted to read these scriptures there. Now let's go to Psalms 141. I wanted to read the first of scriptures to give you a good handful of scriptures to where you know, and there's many more than that. The guys that you got to understand that we are a priest. And it's not just, I mean, it's not a fivefold ministry. I know I'm a pastor, but you are as much a priest as I am. Husbands, you're a priest of your homes. You're a priest over your children. It's very important. Priesthood has different forms. Mothers, you're also priest over your children. You're also priest in helping the husband as a helpmate. That's why you preach together. That's why it's all of the utmost important that we realize, number one, who we are. And I just read you a handful of scriptures from the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Brit Hadashah and the Tanakh. The reason why I did that was this. It ain't contradicting each other. They're telling you the same thing. Peter was saying it. The book of Revelation was saying it. Because it says it's the revelation of who? The revelation of Yeshua Messiah. He's not... I heard Bill Cloud say something about a particular rabbi. And what he was saying is he had made an allusion that this rabbi was saying back in Deuteronomy 13, if there was a prophet that even if he was like Moses or more powerful than Moses, But if he told you to deviate from the Torah, what does it tell you to do? Tells you not to listen to him. If there's a prophet that comes to you and tells you if they're healing, if they're doing all of these things, but if they're telling you not to worship according to the Torah tells you don't listen to the man. And so this, subtly, what are these rabbis doing? Because Christianity has created that we don't do the Torah anymore, they're saying Yeshua is that man. He did healings. He did all of these great things. But yet, you don't have to eat clean. You don't have to do the things of the Torah. So guess what? Don't listen to him. That's what they're saying. But the Father's fixing that. Because Yeshua said this. He said, "I did not come to do away with what? The law or the prophets. But to bring it full of meaning. I'm here to show you how to walk in the law and the prophets. I didn't come here to show you how to do away with it. But when we sit around and we say that Jesus or Yeshua is our king, and yet we don't have to do two-thirds of the..." You see what I'm saying? In their mindset of our Jewish brothers, they're saying, you're worshiping somebody... Even though he did great things, he's teaching us to deviate from the Torah. So the very Torah itself says, don't listen to the man. Guys, we got to, you see what I'm saying? We got to, this is why we have to walk in it. When we went to Israel, that's why it was so important. And it ministered to certain people because they could not, they said, "You Catholic. If you're a Christian, you're Catholic." There's only three religions in the world, and you already know that. Judaism, Islam, and Catholicism. All Christians are Catholic. That's the way they see it. They don't understand the mess that we got here in the United States. They don't understand all the denominations. They don't understand. They don't even care, number one, because they got their thing. But when we're sitting here doing Pesach, and when we're sitting here doing Shavuot, and we're doing Sukkot, and we're doing unleavened bread, and we're getting the leaven out of our homes, and we're teaching our children, They're like, "What? Who are you? What are you doing? What, you know, what church are you? Are you Catholic?" No, I told you we're not Catholic. But here's the thing, but it doesn't compute. But when you're doing the thing, then they say, "Well, why don't you convert to Judaism?" Why? The scriptures, I don't have to convert to Judaism. The thing is, but the Father has got to set up, and He's setting it up. He's got to set the stage. But people, we have to walk in this. We have to do this. I know there's Jews for Jesus, and these people don't eat clean. All they do is they've accepted Yeshua as their Savior, and they're not doing the Torah. I understand why these other, because if you're not doing the Torah, they're not going to have anything to do with you. That's the way they think. And if we represent Yeshua, that He's done away with the Torah, guess what? They're not going to have anything to do with Him. But now, if we can show them Yeshua in the Torah, they'll listen. Because you can see that there's something that happens, and it ain't because of me and you. It's because of His Word and His Spirit and His connection. Just like when me and you got saved. Because when I got saved, I wasn't looking. All I had was is I realized something happened to me, and I got miserable. And there was conviction that come on me, and I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden am I feeling bad about things that I always did, and I were taught it was okay. But that's the Holy Spirit that brought the conviction. You can't do it. You can't drum it up. You can't do it. You can't fix it. It's very important if we will live, if we will do great things, if we will follow His commandments and do great things, the Holy Spirit will do the work on the rest, no matter who they are, what nation they're from. Amen? Okay. Revelation 5:8. I'm sorry. Y'all in Psalms 141. I'm sorry. 141:1. Psalm of David. Oh, Yahweh, I call upon you. Now he's praying here. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Now listen what he's saying. Let my prayers be counted as what? Incense before you. Now, he's not doing this because he's a great poet. Okay, he's not into liturgy here. In literature. Not liturgy, but literature. In other words, what he's doing here is he understands what prayers do. He understood because he had the tabernacle around him. He understood about the priesthood. He understood what prayers were doing and how they worked. He said, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. Wonder what evening sacrifice means. When is that usually? 3:00? You sort of think that that's a coincidence that that's there. There's a reason. He's saying, when I'm lifting, this is why I was saying, and I'm guilty. We're sitting here, we're doing our thing, and 9:00 alarm goes off. And so we turn and we pray. But are we praying just because we have to, because the alarm went off, and I need to really do it, because if I don't do it, it ain't right. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm busy? Or do I really sit back and take that time and earnestly cry out to Him for that moment or two? Because it's a heart issue, and He knows our heart. He knows. He knows if we're just saying something, yabba-dabba-doo, you know, like the Flintstones. Or is our heart in it? If our heart is not in it, that's an abomination. Because He tells us when to bring His times, and you're going to see some little things, but this is, David knew about this evening sacrifice. He knew, he said, I'm lifting up my hands at the evening sacrifice and praying, and let my prayer be counted as incense before you. Do we do that when we pray at 3:00? Nah, not really. Okay. This is why this is coming up. If we can't do this, guys, how are you going to defeat darkness? When prayer's the work. Russia and China is not your problem. He can take care of people with a coronavirus if he needs to. We talked about four altar judgments, and that's one of the altar judgments is sickness like that. He can pour out a plague on people. You don't have to worry about bombs and this, that, and the other. We fight again. We think wrong. The thing about it is if we will just do right things, and if we will be right with Him and be righteous and do what's right, He takes care of all of that. You know what? He can hide you in plain sight. Because He can put fear on the nations like He did with Israel. When Israel was right before Him, He put fear upon the nations and they wouldn't touch them. But guess what? When they wasn't doing right, I can't whistle. Wee, wee. You know, He'd say, Nebuchadnezzar, I got a job for you. I need you to come on over here. They didn't hear my word. They didn't let the land rest for every 7 years. They didn't let the land rest. So I'm going to figure up. That's 70 years that they didn't let the land rest. So guess what? They're going into captivity. Judah went into captivity for 70 years. He put 70 years there for a reason. He put 70 years because it was punished for what they didn't do. He just doesn't just do that. There's punishment for things that we don't do. Their heart wasn't in it. No, we can do it. I don't know. I don't have faith that I can do that. Well, the whole thing, guys, about faith is this. I don't care what you do. Your job's not secure. Your land ain't secure. Your house ain't secure. You don't know if the thing's burning down while you're sitting in here rejoicing. The thing about it is you have to trust Him that He's protecting every area of our life. That's what He's trying to get us to. And that's why He says, you're not going to plant during this season, and I'm still going to feed you and make sure. And you know what? If I got to send you on a donkey with some gold to go buy some from another place, I'll do that. But what we do, we get in control because we got to control some things. I want to believe Him on spiritual things, but on the physical things, He says spirit, soul, and body, you will trust me. And I will touch you on the areas because I know where you don't trust me. And I will touch you in these areas to see if you will. And He will keep touching and touching and touching until we do. But He wants us to. So incense or prayers. And then He said in verse 3, He says, set a guard. And this is one of our prayers. Set a guard, O Yahweh, over my big mouth. Now I took literary license there and added the word big. But I'm emphasizing, He says, set a guard, O Yahweh, over my mouth. Why? Because I can get to saying things and I can let the flesh get the best of me and I'll start confessing things that I don't need to be confessing. I can be negative. If you're going to be negative, keep your mouth shut. Trust in Him. Look, I'm telling you, faith and living by faith is not easy because you're believing and you're believing in something that you can't see. But that's what faith is and that's what makes it so powerful. Yeshua says, disciples, apostles, y'all do good, but you've seen me. But blessed are those who have not seen me and has believed. See, we're believing in someone that we've only read about and we're trusting. That's what faith is. But faith has to be that way in every area of our life. Not just because we say something. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Keep the door locked with a padlock if you have to. Verse 4, do not let my heart inclined to any evil be busy, to busy myself with the wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Guys, if this ain't us, if this ain't what's going on in the world, this right here is something that's very, very powerful. He understood, David understood, for my prayers to be as incense, I need to have my life in a right place before Him. If I'm eating the delicacy, if I'm running with all of these people that are wicked, and then I'm just trying to pray at 9 and 12 and 3 and just trying to give Him His due, guess what? He knows that His prayers are not incense. They're strange fire. All right, let's go to Revelation 5:8. I want you to picture this. Revelation 5:8. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. I got a place for Steve up there. Amen. Each holding a harp. And look what it says. And golden bowls full of incense. Well, what is the incense that's in these bowls, which are the prayers of the saints? Guys, when we pray, we got to understand there's things happening in the heavens. Our prayers are going into these bowls. And these elders are taking these bowls before the Lamb. And our Lamb is taking before our King, Yahweh Elohim himself. This is what's happening. We need to get a good picture when we pray. When we worship and praise here after a while, when we're doing this and you're praising, you're offering up incense of worship to him in prayer. And when you do that, it's going into the heavens and they're gathering it in the heavens. And they're gathering it in bowls. We got to understand, and they're taking these bowls. But what are we asking for? What are we doing? We need to get serious about this. This is really how it hit me. It's just that this is what's going on into the heavens. I know we don't see what's going on in the heavens. We see all the trouble that's here on this earth. But the Father's saying, trust me, I got this. Bring your prayers and bring your supplications to me, and it'll be as incense, and it'll burn before me in the heavens, and I'll fix this. Because his hand is not too short that he can't reach down and drive out any sickness or any problems in our lives. That's how powerful he is. I mean, my goodness, he's created us. These guys that's in medicine, when you think about the cells in your body, you just think about how a one-cell organism bumped into something and exploded, and all of a sudden it divided, and here we are. When you're trying to figure out, I'm just like, and then all of a sudden, we're sitting here, we popped out of an ape clothes, and we're doing our thing. We lost all our hair. Some of us trying to grow it back. And then all of a sudden, you get a little bit of plaque, gets loose from your body and lands somewhere in your brain. And it affects you for the rest of your life. I think we're a little bit more complex than something bumping into something. Are we just being evolved from something? We're talking about we're uniquely made. We are made to worship him. We're made to honor our King. That's what we're made to do. We're made for a purpose in this life. And the thing about it is he has put everything physically, spiritually in our lives to honor him properly the way he desires to be worshiped. But when we choose not to do that, just maybe sometimes our body don't cooperate. Revelation 8:3-4. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer and was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Guys, this is going on. This ain't in here just because it's just a good thing to write. This is what's happening. We've been praying. We're going to pray in a moment for two ladies. And we're going to anoint some cloth, and we're going to send that cloth to them, because that's what they desire to do because of Acts. It says that we can do that, and we're going to do it by faith. But guess what? It ain't the cloth, it's the faith. It's the faith in knowing that when we pray for people, they're going to be healed. And these very same prayers, that when we pray these prayers, they're going to the Father, and they're going into an incense, and they're going before the throne. We got to understand this is what's happening. And then it says, in the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before Elohim from the hand of the angel. I just want it to sink in just a minute. Guys, that's where your prayers are going. Your prayers go up as incense. And when they go up as incense, they go before the Father, and an angel brings them to him. I'm going to finish up with this one here. Psalms 55:16-17. It says, as for me, I will call upon Yahweh, and Yahweh shall save me. And he says this, verse 17. Evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray. If you don't pray any other time, these are the hours. I mean, you'll see it throughout Scripture about this morning, evening prayers. And here you have it noon. And I will cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. I just wanted to bring back to our remembrance that we don't get laxed on these hours of prayer and that they really mean something. If you want your life and if I want my life to be changed, I need to do what the Father says to do that will allow the change to take place. And I need to take very serious his hours of prayer, and I need to take serious what he's asking us to do. Because, you know, a lot of times that alarm will go off or something will happen, and you may pray or you may do whatever, but you never know that the individual that's standing around you when that happens, and when you say, I have a moment, I'm going to pray, I almost guarantee you that person's going to say, what was that about? And the reason why what that about is this right here. He's wanting us to do great things. He's wanting us to minister to them. And you know what? They may start praying. May not understand why, but they may start praying, and it may tip something in them to start studying. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, look, when it came to us about praying at these three different times, especially 9 and 3, you know, Boaz was here. We never did that. We never understood that. There's so much stuff we still don't understand. But when we started doing it, things started happening in our lives. But just like everything else, it can become rote. And this is what we have to guard against. Our lives, we get so busy with busy, our lives can't become rote to the things of Yahweh. They have to be passionate, and they have to be real, and they have to be... Because if not, I promise you, the things that we do will not prosper. And that's what this is about. And to really, and I just wanted to bring these scriptures out for one reason. I want you to realize and understand that when you pray, there's an angel, according to scriptures, there's an angel that's taking these prayers before the king. And that's what he's doing. And I can tell you, but if our life is not right, our prayer is what? It's an abomination. It ain't getting past this seal. Amen.